last time when I was here, I told you one of the shock I came across when I came to England the first time about the cold that I saw at the airport. Because in my head, from Africa, from Nigeria in particular, is how cold can England be? But when I walked through that thought that day, I knew that reality is a better teacher. Another shock I saw was celebrating my first Christmas here in England. You know, in my own context, there's something we call Christmas rice or Christmas goats. It's like when you cook your Christmas rice, it's different from the other rice you eat on the normal day. I mean, and then we go to church, we celebrate, we kill our goats, and it's a frenzy. So well, last year, I spent my Christmas with a family, and I was waiting for anything to happen. Nothing was happening. And it's like normal thing. And I was more surprised on the Christmas day, there was no church, because their own church do not believe in going to church on the Christmas day. Oh, I was heartbroken. So I asked them, what do we now do? So we go out for a walk in the wood. I said, wow, on the Christmas day, Peter is walking in the wood. Amazing. As I began to study this scripture, this Mark chapter 5, and try to draw implications for gospel witness, it came to my mind that day we met a lot of individual from that community in the wood. And we chat about many things. The only thing we never spoke of was Christ. We never brought the topic up, and no one ever asked why Christmas. And the question is, why is it so difficult to share our belief these days? Sometimes we are so shy. We are so ashamed, we are careful, and most times we are fearful. We don't want to be embarrassed. And sometimes we don't really know what to say to people. We don't know how to strike a conversation. So we hide behind the church programs I'm giving to missions, I've done my part. I come to prayer meetings, we pray for missions, I've done my part. Sometimes we may follow Spencer and the elders to drop leaflets. You know, it's safer. You just drop the leaflet through the letterbox and you are saved. But to strike a conversation about Jesus is so difficult for many of us, myself inclusive. I am not preaching to you. The Lord also is speaking to me. It is very difficult to share our experiences. I want to encourage you today that in this period of Christmas, you will be bold for once and share the gospel with someone. The story before us this morning, Mark chapter 5, is the story about Jesus. It is also the story about one madman that is nameless. It is also the story about a community called Gadara, depending on the translation that we are using. The story is not necessarily about missions and evangelism, because in it, we encounter Christ's power over demons, demonstrating his divinity. In chapter 2, you recall, I was preached from there last time. We saw the Pharisees challenging Jesus' authority to forgive sins. The whole idea behind the miracles of Jesus was to prove that he is God. Yeah, we see him as a man, born of the Virgin Mary, but he is equally God. He did not drop his divinity at any time while he was here. Even though he humbled himself in his active obedience for our redemption, he is still God. So he was doing these great miracles to prove to people that he is God. It shows that God is in charge of his creation. Evil and evil men may run around for some time, but we know that God is in control. We know that the whole kingdoms of the earth belongs to God. Yes, Satan is powerful and capable of doing a lot of harm, but it is not at par with God. The powers of Satan and the power of God are not parallel. God is ahead of him. We saw that in verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he fell down and worshiped him. When he saw Jesus coming, the demons knew who was in charge. They have been in charge of that community. They have been in charge of that man. 6,000 of them, they called themselves Legion. But when they saw this one man from Nazareth crossing that river to the other side, they knew who was in charge. They knew the master has arrived. This passage demonstrates the power of Jesus. And we can trust him that the God whom we have come to is not just a weak God. The God that we have come to is not just one of the prophets. The God that we have come to is divine and is powerful. It's ahead of all gods. The Bible says, who is like unto thee among the gods? And there is no rock like our God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. But I want to draw three things that I found from here just to drive home my point. Here we see Jesus as the compassionate Savior. The compassionate Savior. We see Jesus as the compassionate Savior. The ministry of our Lord Jesus in his active obedience to the Father was motivated by compassion. It was never an act of compulsion. He willingly submitted himself to the will of the Father out of love for humanity. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten son. The Godhead were in love. They were full of compassion as they saw, as they behold our helplessness in the hand of sin and Satan. So we see that same act of mercy and compassion as he moved towards this man and towards this city across this lake. This man, this madman, was not the only man that is mad in this region. But he was chosen by God to become the recipient of divine visitation. And anytime there is a divine visitation, changes must occur necessarily. This man has lost his sanity, has lost his home, has lost his family, and wander around in graveyards, hurting himself and crying day and night. His helplessness was highlighted in verse 4. If you look at verse 4, the Bible said, they have chained him oftentimes. They have done all medications to help him, but they could no longer help him. You see, friends, there are things that we can handle, but there are things that only God can do. There are situations that it takes only divine interventions to bring under control. The people, his family, his community tried to help him, but they could not. Now, Jesus was not obligated to go and heal him. He was not called for. He was not invited at all. It was not that they sent for him, come and help us. On his own sovereign will, out of mercy and compassion, he went across to this man. He could have stayed on the other side and whispered a word. He could have sent Peter, he could have sent someone, and this man may have been healed. But he undertook a night journey at the risk of drowning, if you look at chapter 4, to reach out to this man. This reminds us of his incarnation. The situation of the world without God was much, much worse than this man. We were helpless. We were naked. We were self-harming. And the Bible said the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. All help was thrown at us from the time of the fall in the garden until Christ. All manner of self-effort through diverse man-made religion never help us. We were in bondage to the power of Satan until Christ. God could have stayed in heaven and sent some angels, but no. He came down himself. He stepped down himself. As we see Christ crossing through this lake, we saw God coming down to the earth, humble himself, took the nature of man, hide in the womb of Mary for 9 months, just for us. He grew up like a child. He learned carpentry, learned obedience, lived under the law. He hungered, he was abused, and he was crucified. He cried like us. He shared in our feelings. He never sat down as a pope. He never had an headquarter. He was not like us. He never sat down in one place, in one location, sending messages. He was personally involved with us. Whatever afflicted us, afflicted him. He was at our weddings. He shared in our joy. He also shared in our sorrows. He wept with us. He bore our pains, even here, even while he was alive and while he was on the cross. That was the difference between Christ and other religious leaders. He was not like Muhammad. He was a servant savior, full of compassion, full of mercy. Risked everything to get across to this man. We saw a merciful and compassionate savior. But in contrast, we also saw a confused and selfish city. We saw a compassionate savior. We saw a confused people. Verse 17. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Jesus had healed this man, had delivered this man. This man had been a great concern to this community. He was not just having mental issues. You know, I've not seen real madmen since I came to this country, but I have seen real mad people in my lifetime. I mean, real mad people are really mad. And you can't be man enough to face a madman. I don't know how many of you have seen a madman before. I mean, real mad people. This man was just a concern to this community. If you read of this account somewhere in the gospel, people could not pass through the road where this man was hanging around anymore. I'm sure the graveyard was taken over by him, and people have to choose to bury their loved ones somewhere else. And Jesus, out of his own will and compassion, has helped this community. He was not helping only this man. The help he extended to this man was for the whole of the community. Because for the first time, these people are going to live in peace. For the very first time, the family of this man are going to receive their man back home as a responsible citizen. But what do we see? No, go away, Jesus, go away. At least they'll have called me for a cup of coffee, at least. But no. But no, they say go. In the book of Acts, Paul and Silas healed a man at Lystra. At least the people gave them some gift. But in this instance, they said, Jesus, go away. Why are they sending this good man away? Why are they telling this good man to go away? It is not normal with the practices of good community. At least they will have called him home for a meal, at least for a day. Maybe they were afraid that the man so powerful like Jesus would take over their community. I don't know. They were afraid, but I don't really know why they were afraid. Perhaps they were angry that because of this one nameless man, over 2,000 pigs has been wasted. Doesn't worth it. Why wasting too much for so little? They couldn't get it. Go away, they said. But isn't that who we are, all of us, before we came to Christ? Are we not selfish in nature? When we see that these things is not to our benefit, go away. Before we came to Christ, we were God haters. We were self-serving. John tells us that that we love darkness than light. And we were by nature children of wrath. We hate God. We push him away. We know that he's our creator. We know that he loves us. But we don't want him in our business. We think he will bring discomfort to us. We push him away. I'll give you an example. Before Christianity came to Nigeria, Islam was in Nigeria for more than 200-300 years. But it was Christianity, it was Christian missionaries that brought Western education to Nigeria. It was Christian missionaries that brought hospital, first of all, to the Sudan. It was the Christian missionaries that stopped the killing of the twins. It was the Christian missionaries that brought in most of the civilization that we are happy with right now. Most of the emirs, most of the Islamic leaders in the northern Nigeria today went to missionary school free of charge. But what is their response? Go away. They have sponsored the killings of Christians. They have sponsored the burning down of churches. Because accepting Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they think will bring them loss. My friend, if you are here today and you are not trusting Christ, you are not trusting God for your salvation, you are like these people. You are enjoying God's goodness. You are enjoying his sunshine. You are enjoying his breath. You are enjoying his goodness. But you don't want to have him as your Lord and personal Savior. Perhaps your flesh is deceiving you that Christ in your life will cause you loss. No, he has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Christ in your life is peace indeed. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Outside of him, there is no hope. He is the Savior that you need. You are trusting your NHS. You are trusting your bank account. You are trusting your medications. You are trusting on your own self. You are trusting in the works of your hand. All the things you can put together as the works of your hand will amount to nothing outside Christ. Christ is the Savior that you need. And I encourage you today to accept him into your life. The very first time you will enjoy peace, and peace indeed, is when you are in Christ. But you will not have him. And the horror of this message, of this passage, was that he left. They said, go away. He left. And friends, he has left many countries. And I'm afraid many of us as a country are pushing him away and he's leaving. Where we read in Psalm 81, he said, I left them to themselves. And may he not leave us. That's my cry every day. May he not leave this country. May he not leave his church. Because we are really pushing him now. See the compassion of the Savior. We also see a confused city. But we also saw a willing and obedient man. This man did something, that's where I want to close today. That's amazing. The Lord has healed him, has driven all the demons away from him. And then he had an idea of what to do for God. Say, I will follow you, sir. Say, I will follow you. We saw him was willing to follow immediately. We saw him in verse 18, in verse 16, in verse 20, obeying God without questioning. Say, I will follow you. This man was not just a boy, he's an adult. If I were him, the first thing I would request from the Lord is, please let me go home first and see my family. Then we can negotiate this business of followership, of discipleship. Let me have some holiday. Let me go to Tunisia, have some holidays, and then do my pedicure, my manicure, and let me have some my head. Then we can talk about this business of discipleship. No. Immediately, he said, I'm following you. Though the whole city are rejecting you, I am following you. I will do what you say. And Jesus said, go home. Go home to your friends and tell them what God has done for you. How he had had much compassion on you. Go home to your friend, he said. Was Jesus fair on this man? This man has just been healed, has been wandering around for years. He needed recovery. But he's giving him an assignment immediately. When I look at this man, I say, wow, devil, Satan has been controlling this man, and now another man has come and is controlling him. When will he have himself to himself? Never. But he has come under a Lord that is not like the former Lord. He has come under a Lord that is full of love and compassion. Willingly he obeyed. He was not forcing him. Out of love, out of response to what God has done for him, he was willing to go. But there are a lot of obstacles that we could see. This man may have lost his reputation among the community, being a madman for a long time. What will he say? Will people listen to him? This man has no theology. In fact, the disciples that were following Christ have not been sent yet. But this is just the first day of being a Christian. And God is commissioning him to go and preach. What will he say? Did he know about atonement? What did he know about sanctification? No. What did he know? I mean, let's send him to Kensett Bible College first before we think of evangelism. But no. So go and tell them. You have a testimony. My sisters and brothers, do you have a testimony? That is my question. Do you have a testimony? See, sometimes we make the preaching of the gospel look so complex. It becomes so hard to share it when we make the preaching of the gospel so complex. We speak of Christ in a way that seems remote from our own subjective experiences. Even though our conversion experiences may differ, we do have a story. Anyone that have encountered Christ have a story. Even if God encountered you as a pagan or as anything and brought you dramatically to the kingdom, or you were born into a Christian home and grew up in Sunday school, you do have a story. I want to put to you today that anyone that is genuinely saved have a story. You cannot encounter divinity and will not have a story to share. The problem is, do you want to share it? Are you willing to share your story? Or are you trying to tell me that Christ has not done anything for you? He has. He has. He has. If not for Christ, some of us would have been serving on the ISIS team right now. If not for Christ, some of us would have been bowed down to some idols and worshiping dead gods now. Jesus clothed us. He has robed us with the righteousness of his Father. We are no longer naked like Adam and Eve. He has clothed us. Jesus has given us a preferred future, eternal life with God in heaven. Jesus told us the truth about ourselves. He has shown us the Father. Jesus has brought us back to God. Jesus has brought us back to God. Jesus has done a lot for us. Jesus is the reason why I am standing here today. Even if you don't have any theology in your mouth, evangelism is telling your neighbor what God has done for you. Jesus dies for the whole world, but he has met with you personally. The difference between Christianity and other religion is that God can become a personal savior, and he's living in you by the Holy Spirit. You are having a constant fellowship with him every day. You have a story, friend. You can't have God in you and have no story to share. For once, share your story. You know, when we preach about evangelism, about missions, we give 3 points. Pray, give, and go, right? Prayer alone. Prayer is powerful, but prayer alone does not speak to people. Money. If you put $1 million on this table, money does not preach the gospel. Of the three, the going is the most important. I'm not saying you should go to Saudi Arabia or anywhere. No. There are friends around you here in the tube, in Tesco. It doesn't take anything to just... Some may listen, some may not listen. Don't leave the work to the pastors alone. All of us are called to share our testimony. Say, look at me, friend, look at me. Christ has saved me. This is who I used to be. This is who I am now. You don't need any theology to do that. You have a story. Tell it. The world is full of bad news. The most important news that the world needs to hear today is about Jesus. He is the most single, sweetest story that the world is in need of right now. The church is getting weaker, but I want to encourage us that we should rise up to our responsibility in obedience to God, because the lives of the world depend on your testimony. If you don't share it, they will not be saved. The world depends on your testimony. When you share your testimony, secondly, it glorifies God. It glorifies God that we share your testimony with the unsaved world. Number three is a right response to what God has done for you. When you go about sharing your own testimony, it is a right response to what God has done for you. And I pray for us today that in this Christmas and always, we will take some leaflet in our hands. We will have them in our pocket. We'll have them in our bag. And as we sit in the tube and we sit in the bus, we will be moved by the Holy Spirit to speak to one person, even if it's one person, and say, friend, I have something to share with you. And that thing is Jesus. May God help you to do that today. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn, 35. For us to sing our final hymn. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We don't have the capacity to do these things on our own, except you help us. We are by nature fearful people, but we know that your strength is being made perfect in our weaknesses. As we throw ourselves on your mercy and ability today, help us. Let our tongue, let our mouth be opened to speak your word. We are guilty in many ways. We are not looking at what you have done for us every day. It's not before our eyes. Help us today to keep our eyes focused on what you've done for us. We know that these days, you will come back again. You will reward the faithful, and you will punish the wicked. We wait for that day when you will come again. And we cry, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, come back again. We are waiting for you. But in the meantime, help us to share and tell out of your good deeds in our own lives. Thank you, Father. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now, even forevermore. Amen.